Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And good morning to you, Sherry Brownrigg, and for Teresa Tomeo for the final day. The funeral for Teresa's mom, Rosie, is today, and so Teresa will be back tomorrow. But of course, please do keep all of them in your prayers. This is a very tough day for Teresa, and I know she would very much appreciate you praying for her mother, but also for her and for her family. So happy to be here so that she can rest and sink into that final farewell. Of course, we know as Catholics that when we say goodbye to people, it's not really goodbye. It's kind of a see you later, right? If we're living our lives right. But we know the promises of our Lord, and so that is absolutely what we believe. See you later, Mom. Wow. A lot of things going on today. First of all, it is the Feast of the Annunciation. And wow, what a wonderful day. So many of us would be going to Mass today. If we could. But of course, Mass is not allowed, but we can go on the air. And of course, if you're listening to EWTN, you know that there's Mass all over the place. Just check their listings for your market and you'll be able to hear it or see it on TV or online. So they've got you covered there. Today is also the 25th anniversary of Evangelium Vitae, which was promulgated in March, on March 25th of 1995 by St. John Paul II, reading too fast. And really, what a day to celebrate. So much has happened. Excuse me. So much has happened, really, since that promulgation of that wonderful document. And so many people have been fighting for life since then. And so many people on the front lines. Is it going to be one of those days where my throat is like this? Boy, I tell you, this is the tough thing that I suffer in spring and fall. And if you have spring and fall allergies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's just this consistent kind of a in your throat, and no matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. Oh, well, there it is. But one of the things that I thought was really poignant, you know, the 25th anniversary of this document on life, and also thinking about what's happening in the coronavirus, some of the things that are going on. Ohio and Texas are now banning abortions. Have you heard about this? Because of the coronavirus outbreak? Texas is banning them because there's a general ban on all medically unnecessary surgeries and procedures, while Ohio is banning abortions because the equipment used in them is needed to treat patients suffering from the virus. So the prayer that we have this morning is that, you know, so many states will be also seeing this, and fewer abortions will be happening because of this this incredible virus that is sweeping the nation. You know, a lot of folks are helping us to kind of understand that what is happening right now is not a surprise to our Lord. He wasn't surprised by the fact that all of a sudden there was this coronavirus that was sweeping across the world and changed our lives forever. This was not a surprise to him. He understood what was happening, and I think he's working in this if we allow him to. And I know many people are suffering, but indeed there are some wonderful things happening, like fewer abortions. And we are slowing down some. And we are having to let go of a lot of the things that we thought were important, you know, our daily lives, our busyness, going to work all the time, you know, being able to buy a lot of different things and do the kinds of things that we want to do. Even some aspects of our faith, we're not letting go of them, but we can't practice them in the same way. But the Lord is working in that, asking us to desire Him more, asking us to move towards Him, to slow down and hear His voice and understand what is important. And I think that's happening all over our world. And again, I don't want to minimize, if you're listening right now and you're really suffering, maybe you've lost your job, please know that we are here for you, we're praying for you, and we don't want that to happen. And we're praying that that situation will reverse itself for you. But no matter what happens, when the Lord is there, He always gives us wonderful graces alongside the suffering. And I know you know that as a Catholic. Here's a wonderful thing. I mean, this is a sad story, but it's also a beautiful story. You've probably heard about this. Father Giuseppe Berardelli, he's a 72-year-old priest in the parish of San Giovanni Battista in Italy, and he's been there since 2006. He died right in the middle of the night between March 15th and March 16th in the hospital. His parish had purchased a respirator just for him. His parish went out and bought this for him, but he decided to give it up for a younger patient, and he passed away. He gave his life for someone else. And hearing stories like this, wow, they just help us so much to really see what's important in all of the things that are happening. Here's another one. Involves another priest from Ireland. There's a priest, Father Philip Kemi, is asking for us to accompany those who are ill with the coronavirus and probably dying. He is suggesting that we pray a chaplet of divine mercy for those who are dying. And when they die, he reminded us of this, they almost always die alone due to the isolation that accompanies this particular disease, because most people are in ventilators or their family can't get close to them. Here's what he says. He's asking us to spiritually place ourselves beside one of the poor, unfortunate men and women who are dying alone in hospitals all over the world because of this virus, some of whom are perhaps not well prepared spiritually, this is a quote from him, for their earthly end. And if families were to pray it, then several dying persons would be spiritually adopted with the one prayer of that Divine Mercy chaplet. That's something to think about doing with your family today. Is each one of you, you're praying that chaplet of divine mercy together, and each one of you is adopting someone who is dying from the coronavirus somewhere in the world, and the Lord knows where that prayer is needed the most. But can you imagine what this would do for a soul, the change that it will make for them? So let's all do that today. Not just today, let's keep doing it until this coronavirus is beat. Praying that chaplet of divine mercy and adopting someone who is dying all over the world alone from the coronavirus. I love that phrase, spiritually place ourselves beside them. Spiritually place ourselves beside them. We have the opportunity to really walk them through this process as they head hopefully towards the Lord, and we give them with that prayer. Well, the Lord gives them that. We're just the instrument that he's using, but that prayer gives them that opportunity to become closer to him right at that moment of their death. Here's another idea. You know Teresa's book, Beyond Sunday, right? Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. She's got a book and the study guide, and this is a fantastic resource. You know, your family's together. You don't have the opportunity to worship together at the parish, but this is an opportunity for you to do more at home. So you can worship together. You know, you've got your family there at home, and right now you are the primary educators, and, you know, honestly, we always should be that, I guess, in terms of our faith. But it's a really easy way to continue catechesis at home, and you can start family discussions about it. Kids can come up, you know, you can come up with your own Beyond Sunday brother or sister each week and then explain why you chose him or her. And you can watch Mass online together and discuss the homily afterwards as well as the Mass readings. It's just a wonderful way to take your faith beyond Sunday during the special time when the family is together, you know, pretty much 24/7. And if you don't know much about Teresa's Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, she really created this book because it was something that she experienced in her own reversion. And she has great frustration in seeing relatives who are just scratching the surface in appreciating the depth and beauty of the Catholic faith. And we all have relatives and friends who do that. And I think maybe sometimes we have to place ourselves in that role or in that particular description that we don't necessarily know much about our faith. We're there on Sundays, maybe sometimes during the week, but we're not necessarily practicing our faith in the way that our Lord intended it to be. So this Catholic, or the book and study series for Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, they'll be on Sunday. They are really powerful tools of evangelization because they hit that very common nerve experienced by most Catholics, that we go to Mass on Sunday and we fail to integrate our Catholic faith in our daily lives. And boy, becoming a 24/7 Catholic is not as hard as you think. And this particular book is really going to help you out. Now, if you want to get it, you can find it actually on Ave Maria Radio has it in our store, and you can go to EWTN Religious Catalog, and you can also get it on Amazon. But, you know, I'll be honest, we really encourage you to go to Ave Maria Radio and check in their store and the EWTN Religious Catalog, because, of course, Ave Maria and EWTN are charities. They're nonprofits, and it's really important to support them as well. So a lot of stuff going on today. Here's something that I thought was interesting, kind of going out of the realm of faith. But did you hear that there is growing evidence that the loss of the sense of smell may be a symptom to having the coronavirus? Medical experts are saying that people who lose their ability to smell or taste should isolate themselves for at least a week, even if they're otherwise asymptomatic, because what they're finding is this may be one of the first symptoms that is out there. So if you are experiencing that, or if you do, kind of tuck that into the back of your mind and remember that this is something that that may, you know, it may be happening, that maybe you've got the coronavirus, but you just don't have any symptom other than that one. They were talking to the particular article that I read. They were talking to a reporter who had covered the outbreak in a suburban area, and she noticed it at lunch when her friend pulled out. They were keeping their social distance, but she had a lemon fresh Clorox wipe, and she pulled this out and she said, "Oh, I've never smelled, you know, unscented Clorox wipes." And her friend said, "No, it's lemon." And so she thought, "Huh." And she did a little bit of research and found out that, yes, indeed, you know, that was something that others had reported as well. So very, very interesting. Well, today on the show, it's going to be a great show. We've got Dr. Gracie Christie from the Catholic Association, and she's going to be talking about some things, you know, really to do when you are suffering from the coronavirus, or if you don't have the virus, just when you're home and you're trying to live with your family, you know, trying to get through all of this. She's got some advice for us, and it's Wednesday, so we are heading to Rome, and we're going to be talking with Joan Lewis as well. A lot happening in Rome, and Joan is, I know, going to be talking a mile a minute, giving us all this information, and I can't wait to get all of it. But right now, at 12 minutes past the hour, it is time for news. Senate leaders and the White House are saying they reached a deal on a coronavirus stimulus package. Mike Bauer reports.
After 5 days of negotiations, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the relief package is massive.
The men and women of the greatest country on earth are going to defeat this coronavirus and reclaim our future.
The huge bill aims to juice the ailing economy with $1,200 checks to many Americans, $367 billion in loans to small businesses, $130 billion for hospitals, and $500 billion for companies, cities, and states. Despite President Trump saying he'd be the oversight of the lending program, officials agreed to have an independent inspector general and oversight board.
New York City is currently the epicenter of the coronavirus in the U.S., where the number of infections continues to skyrocket. Nearly 16,000 cases have been confirmed as of this morning, with thousands more in the tri-state area. The infection rate in the city is 8 to 10 times greater than other parts of the country. People who have been in or are leaving the city are being told to go into quarantine for 14 days. A New Jersey man is charged with terroristic threats for allegedly coughing on a supermarket worker and claiming he was infected with the coronavirus. More from Mike Bauer.
50-year-old George Falcone of Freehold reportedly became hostile when the employee at Wegmans in Manalapan told him he was standing too close to her and to an open food display, at which point Falcone allegedly leaned toward her and purposefully coughed. Falcone then laughed and said he was infected with coronavirus. Governor Phil Murphy referenced the Sunday night incident at his press briefing.
There are both knuckleheads out there on the one hand, and on the other hand, we see them and we're enforcing behavior.
Prince Charles has reportedly tested positive for the coronavirus. Two news reports say the Prince of Wales has tested positive for COVID-19, making him the first member of the British royal family to come down with the virus. Prince Charles is reportedly displaying mild symptoms and is self-isolating at home in Scotland with the Duchess of Cornwall. The Duchess was also reportedly tested but does not have the virus at this point. 32 TSA workers at 15 airports across the country have tested positive for the novel coronavirus. Alisa Z has details.
East Coast airports are hardest hit, with 5 confirmed cases among officers at JFK International, 4 at Newark Liberty, and 1 at LaGuardia. A statement on the TSA's website says, during the course of the past 2 weeks, the Transportation Security Administration has seen its dedicated workforce hit by COVID-19, both in the increasing number of confirmed cases and the growing number of individuals who have been exposed to the virus and are quarantining at home.
Despite coronavirus concerns, students are returning to one of the world's largest Christian universities. Liberty University students return to campus this week following spring break. A Virginia state order bans gatherings of more than 10 people, so classes will be strictly online. But students are allowed to live on campus for the rest of the school year. University President Jerry Falwell Jr. said they have an obligation to make sure students who paid to be there have the best college experience possible. Ford is set to partner with GE and 3M on making face shields, ventilators, and air-purifying respirators to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Executive Chairman Bill Ford Jr. says engineers have found a seat-cooling blower used in the Ford F-150 truck that can be used in a filtration system.
When you're in a situation like this, you do anything you can. And so we're actually finding that those fans are useful in production of some of these other items.
Ford and 3M have a goal of churning out as many as 10 times more respirators than are currently being manufactured to meet the need of the healthcare industry. The automaker is looking into changing over an assembly plant for the medical device production and has the full cooperation of the United Auto Workers Union to do so. It appears Bernie Sanders isn't ready to exit the Democratic presidential race. The Vermont senator's campaign reportedly said Tuesday Sanders plans to take part in an April debate if one is held. Sanders has been pretty quiet about his campaign plans since Joe Biden swept last Tuesday's primaries. The former VP surge has led to a significant delegate lead over Sanders. To help taxpayers cope with disruptions brought on by the coronavirus outbreak, the IRS has pushed back the federal tax filing deadline to July 15th, giving Americans an additional 3 months to get their returns in without having to pay interest or penalties. CPA Lisa Green Lewis of TurboTax says, however, you might not want to wait if you expect a refund.
That's a lot of money that can help people right now. So even though the tax deadline was extended to July 15th, I would encourage taxpayers to just file their taxes because that could be some money that they could really use right now.
Green Lewis says last tax season, more than 70% of taxpayers got money back, and the average refund was $3,000. The filing extension applies to federal taxes only, but some states are also moving back their deadlines. Green Lewis advises you to check with your state tax agency for the details. Wow, some welcome news amongst all this. All right, I'm Sherry Brownrigg. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gracie Christie of the Catholic Association about how you can weather the storm during all this coronavirus outbreak stuff. So that is coming up. That's more to come, a lot more to come here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today. Did you miss the open enrollment deadline for 2020? Options are still available. In fact, Pro-Life Catholic Healthcare is just a click away. CMF Curo offers an affordable, community-based, pro-life Catholic healthcare option. If you still need healthcare this year, now is the time to join CMF Curo. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com for affordable healthcare options for Catholic singles and families. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
You're listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tamio. Welcome. Teresa will be back tomorrow. Her funeral for her mother is today. So please, please, please do pray for both Teresa and her family, and her mom especially. Hopefully zooming on her way up there to meet our Lord, to be with him and spend eternity there. Well, as promised, we have Dr. Gracie Pozzo Christi with us, and she is host of the Catholic Association's podcast, Conversations with Consequences, and now it is no longer just a podcast. EWTN carries that, and you can hear that on Saturday afternoons. But she is a radiologist and really is just a wonderful, wonderful policy advisor for the Catholic Association. She writes and speaks in both Spanish and English about Catholicism, religious freedom, and the intersection of faith and science. And we are so happy to have you here. Good morning, Dr. Christi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, because I know that, you know, everyone's busy right now, but everyone is looking for answers. And you have really kind of that special, I think, you've got that perspective that is really important for us. We need to stay grounded in our faith, but we need to really talk about, you know, what we should do during this outbreak of the virus. So, you know, first of all, let's kind of go to that. What are the best practices that you are advising everyone to observe during this time?
Well, definitely we have to be following what's been advised for our area and for our condition, as our own personal condition. For our area, some people are under complete lockdown, and then they should definitely stay home, maybe go out for a walk, avoid groups of people walking. I know it's driving everyone a little bit stir-crazy, but it's definitely worth it. We're going to be able to weather this better if we delay the infection rate so that our hospitals can cope with the ill. And then, of course, on a personal level, whoever is especially vulnerable needs to really, really be careful, because it would be really a shame to have one's life cut short due to a little impatience, maybe, or just a little lack of just wanting to do all the things. It's hard for all of us to be obedient. We all want to rebel. But yeah. I think that this is an opportunity for, this is also an opportunity. We're all getting different opportunities, and maybe we need to look at that instead of the things that we are missing out on. And also, of course, I don't want to minimize the anxiety. All of us are suffering a lot of anxiety. Yeah. And that's completely normal, but we shouldn't allow our anxiety to drive us. We should drive our own self.
Yeah, you know, and going back to the first subject that you talked about is, you know, the impatience that sometimes can have dangerous consequences, disastrous consequences. I know, thinking about my own life, you know, putting into play just these different processes of when to use a hand sanitizer. Okay, you know, if you have to go into the grocery store, knowing exactly when to do that, you know, what you've touched last. And so ensuring that you're not bringing perhaps maybe an undetected, you know, virus. You might be someone who's carrying the virus and don't know about it. Going into the store, you've got to use a hand sanitizer, and then coming out, you have to, you know, so really developing all those processes and thinking those through does require us to kind of stop and think and, you know, really, really take into consideration all those different things.
It also calls for us to be generous in thinking of our neighbors. So, for instance, a couple of ideas is, if you know you need to go to the grocery store, call your neighbors, call your loved ones who live nearby that you can access and say, I'm going. Do you need a gallon of milk? Do you need need some toilet paper? Or, you know, are you running short on some important supply? Because I'm going anyway. And it's better for one person to go to the store for three households than for three people to go to the store for three households. So that's just a small idea, but I think it would help many people if we put that
in fact, place. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm actually doing that for my mother and for several of her friends who live in the senior living center. You know, they're on lockdown, which is really important. I'm glad that that's the case. But they need some groceries, and I have volunteered to go for my mother and three of her neighbors, so that's a wonderful opportunity for me. It's a great way to give back. Well, we are up against a break here, but we've got a lot more to come with Dr. Gracie Pozzo Christi, so please do stay tuned here to Catholic Connection.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When Jesus disappeared into the clouds, leaving his apostles behind, where did he go? According to the Catholic Catechism, he went to heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Just as he descended from heaven at the moment of the Incarnation, at the Ascension, he returned to the Father, something only he, the God-man, the Son of the Father, could do. Thus, the Incarnation and the Ascension are inextricably linked. Only the one who came from the Father can return to the Father, the Catechism tells us, further stating that the ascension of the Lord introduces the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory, where he will be seated from this time forward at God's right hand. Left to our own devices, we mortals cannot achieve access to heaven. We are totally dependent on the merits gained for us by the one who went before us. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This is Catholic Connection, Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tamio, who will be back tomorrow. Of course, keep her and her family in your prayers. Joan Lewis is coming up later on in the hour. Right now, though, we are talking with Dr. Gracie Pozzo Christi, and she is part of the Catholic Association and also hosts the wonderful show on EWTN, Conversations with Consequences. And you can hear it in most places on Saturday afternoon, so check your local listings there. But Dr. Christi, we were talking about some of the things that occur because of the coronavirus, and then we ran smack up against that break. But let's focus on anxiety and the time that we have left. There's a lot of different anxieties that are really creeping into people's lives.
Well, we all have the health anxiety, some of us more than others, depending on our personal physical condition and also the condition of our loved ones. We have, many of us have loved ones in nursing homes who on the best of days are very frail. And I know people who have very close people on chemotherapy, or they are on chemotherapy. They're immune suppressed, and this is very dangerous for them. So that's a lot of anxiety there for ourselves and for our loved ones. And then there's the terrible economic anxiety, which I don't think that we should minimize. I mean, people are talking about bailouts, but right now, the most vulnerable people in our society economically are out of work.
Yeah.
When we talk about the restaurant industry, hotels, I personally know so many people that's it, no more paycheck. and they still have to pay their rent. They still have to put groceries on the table. So all these anxieties are weighing on all of us, and I think it's important to reach out to our friends and family and be there for them by phone, by Skype, however we can do it. And then also, of course, to pray a lot. And maybe this is a...
Oh, it seems like we... Oh, we lost Dr. Christie there. Okay, we'll get her back here in just a minute. But, you know, she's so right what she talks about. Some of the things that that you see that others are that has befallen them, you know, especially those who have lost their jobs, many were not prepared for this. I don't think anyone was prepared for the speed of the coronavirus going around the globe. And so, you know, here they are. All of a sudden, they don't have that paycheck. And they weren't planning for it. It wasn't something that they knew was going to happen. And so now they're in a much worse situation than they would have been otherwise. So we've got Dr. Christie back. And, Dr. Christie, I'm not sure what happened, but we're so glad you're back.
I think that all the connections are very overloaded right now.
Yes, I think so. If your internet's slow, well, everyone's using internet at home right now, so no surprise there.
No.
Yeah, well, you were talking about some of the anxieties, and I was just mentioning that, you know, a lot of people were not planning for this. So, you know, it's one thing if you know you're going to be losing your job and you have a little bit of time to plan. Sometimes you can't even do it then. But this was such a surprise because the coronavirus overtook us in such rapid time.
Yes, and people who would normally be able to depend on their family to give them a little money to tide over or let them move in with them, they're all whole families, whole extended families are in the same boat. So I think personally, and I think all your listeners will agree that this is a time to get back to basics, to get back to our connection with God and the fact that we are in His hands and that He cares for us infinitely. And we can't allow our anxiety for material things to erase that connection. On the other hand, actually, we have to allow that anxiety to drive us towards a closer communion with God and with His, and with the help that He is giving us moment after moment after moment, always calling to us and saying, rest in me, and I will take care of you like a mother soothes her baby.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. You know, another thing that's happening, too, is that people who might normally help are nervous about their own situation as well. Perhaps they still have a job, but they don't know if they're going to get paid. And so, you know, they see others who really could use a little help in terms of a loan or just an outright monetary gift. But they feel like, I don't know if I can give this. Because I may be suffering and I may need it too. So can you talk maybe a little bit about that and how we can sort of overcome that?
Well, I think, again, we have to let our best impulses and our noblest ideals guide us moment after moment. We have to take care of our own families and their immediate needs, but we have to be able to reach out to our neighbor. And even if that means that we do without a little more, or that we even, you know, suffer more anxiety and say, well, you know what, I'm just going to trust God and I'm going to help this neighbor of mine who is much worse off than I am. I mean, this is the widow's mite, right? The widow goes and she gives her little bit, and I think we have to connect with those parts, all that generosity that God asks of us.
It all comes down to that trust, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Trusting that He'll take care of us.
On the prophet, I mean, God has... We live on divine providence. That's why we live and breathe and think and love, because God is loving us every moment of our day. So it's, we think, you know, we live because we can buy food and eat it and we have shelter. No, we live because God is loving us. So I think we need to go back to that and concentrate on that very hard. Go to Mass every day. Go to an online Mass every single day.
And they're all over the place.
Yes, my husband and I are enjoying them so much. we're daily Mass goers.
Yeah.
But the online Mass is opening new spiritual realms for us. It's amazing.
Yeah. Doesn't it? I know my parish is doing online Mass, and so I'm able to partake every day. The very first time that I watched it, though, I just burst out in tears because it was so moving. So as you said, new spiritual opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And another opportunity, we all have wonderful pastors and parishes. Experiment with the rest of the world. There are amazing priests out there giving fabulous homilies that maybe have approaches that you that are going to open new vistas for you. Maybe you've heard many, many times your pastor, which is wonderful, to give the same homily on the same gospel passage. Well, try something new and let God, you know, enter your soul from a different direction.
And there are so many wonderful resources out there that are helpful in this time. I know I talked at the beginning of the hour about one that Teresa herself has put out. It is Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. It's a book and a study guide that's a perfect thing to get in times like this. And you can actually use it with your family. You can start a virtual group, you know, with through your parish or your friends. So it's a wonderful time to stay connected.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a few months, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was between jobs, radiology jobs, and I suddenly had a lot of time in my hands. And he was so good to me because he inspired me to reach out and find a spiritual director and start a plan of life. So a plan of life is where you, I mean, I'm sure you know, but, and most of your listeners know, but, is where you integrate, contemplation of God throughout your entire day, from the first moment you wake up to your last thought, all interspersed during the day, and it's been a life changer. And so maybe now that, unfortunately, we have a lot of time on our hands, this would be a great time to make that daily connection that takes place over and over during the day.
I love that. What did you call it again? A spiritual life plan?
Plan of life.
A plan of life. Yeah, I love that idea. Well, Dr. Gracie Pozzo Christie, thank you so much for being with us. And if you want to hear more from Dr. Christie, you can hear her on the Conversations with Consequences. EWTN airs that on Saturdays. All right, we'll be back with Joan Lewis. Stay tuned to Catholic Connection. Lots more to come.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders this afternoon, 2 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We recently filed a Friend of the Court brief in the U.S. Supreme Court in June Medical Services versus G, a case in which the justices will decide on the constitutionality of a Louisiana law requiring abortionists to have local hospital admitting privileges. We filed the brief on behalf of Priests for Life and Rachel's Vineyard, which provides post-abortion healing for the many people harmed by abortion. As set forth in our brief, Louisiana has a paramount right to protect the health and safety of its citizens, and this includes enacting regulations to raise the standard and quality of care for women seeking abortions. In support of Louisiana's right to enact such common sense regulations, we included in our brief the compelling testimonies of victims of abortion from states across the country, including Louisiana, persons who have been harmed in a profound way by the deadly procedure. These testimonies reveal that such regulations are not only valid, they are necessary. Supporters of abortion often claim that they want it to be safe, legal, and rare. The truth is, the abortion industry just wants to keep the deadly procedure legal. They could care less about safety, and they certainly don't want abortion or their profits from it to be rare. This is an important case because it's the first one in which both Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh will be deciding. We can hope that the court will acknowledge that it has overstepped its bounds in many ways on this issue, and that it will begin to introduce more sanity into the case law. I'm Robert Buse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo. And the funeral for Teresa's mom, Rosie, is today. So again, please, please do keep them in your prayers. We very much appreciate that. And I know Teresa does too. Well, let's promise we've got Joan Lewis on the line with us. She's the host of Joan's Rome and the Vatican Insider, and she's got a wonderful blog at jonesrome.wordpress.com. Good morning, Joan, from the epicenter of the coronavirus right now.
Yes, and it looks like, you know, I think it's Spain. The deaths are increasing enormously in Spain. I know the things are all on the on the rise in the United States. I'm following that. But I have to say my good news on this Feast of the Annunciation was that my satellite had been out since the morning of Friday the 13th. So Friday the 13th takes on a whole new meaning for me. That's the day I got back from New York after 48 hours there and had about 2 hours of satellite news, and then it went out. And the workers came, and this is so weird. Precisely as I am sitting in front of my television to pray the Our Father with the Pope, as all the Christians in the world were asked to do, at that moment my front doorbell rings. And it was all the technicians coming to fix my satellite. So I had to be 6 feet away from them, and they all came in with their masks and touched a few things on my, you know, decoder, and here I am. So that was the good news in that respect. But there's been all sorts of interesting developments from the Holy See. I don't know how many of our listeners know, but the Vatican daily newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, it came out for the first time on July the 1st, 1861.
Oh, wow.
And for the only time in its history since then, it, even in wars and everything else, it had to suspend the print publication of the paper. Now, you know, I don't know how many copies were made every day, but the thing is they were printed in the Vatican and then brought around to all the different newsstands. Well, you're all kind of asking for contagion when you've got people, you know, traveling around the city delivering the newspaper. And so anybody who couldn't write for the paper could do so at home, because the Vatican is following that kind of rule. But there are some things, putting out a physical newspaper, that require the presence of people, and they just decided that I think today is the last issue of the paper for a while suspended in the print form. But there is a digital form, and yesterday I posted on my blog under the title Vatican Newspaper Suspends Print Publication for those wishing to receive it in their email. And I don't know about the English and Spanish and other editions. I published an address that people can write the Osservatore Romano asking to receive it, you know, in their in their email. So,
wow.
As to coronavirus cases in the Vatican, we have four. One was announced, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. One was announced that a person who was coming to the office, the health office in the Vatican, apparently to have tests done. New hires in the Vatican are always asked to, among other things, you know, go through a health test and at the Vatican offices, and that's free and everything. But a person was apparently going for a job interview, went in for a test. They were found to have coronavirus.
Oh, so my.
The doctors and others who'd been in touch with them were asked to go on quarantine for 14 days. So, but that was published several weeks ago. That person is at home. But anyway, and then one other Vatican employee in the merchandise office and two of the Vatican museums have been tested positive, and so they are in what we call solitary confinement, in other words, quarantine. And they're being, I don't know which of the three being treated in Italian hospitals, but most at home. So,
well, how is the Pope doing, Joan? I mean, I know he had that cold for a long time, and a lot of people thought that he maybe, gosh, does he have coronavirus? But he says it's just a cold, huh?
Well, some, pardon me, idiot, wrote before they had any facts at all that the Pope had coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how many weeks ago was that? Well, he had a cold. I mean, that was the end of February. If you recall, he was supposed to go out of Rome on retreat with, you know, leading prelates of the Roman Curia. And then you could hear it in his voice. I think it was the Wednesday audience before the Thursday that he... that it was decided that he would stay home. But this is all the beginning of the coronavirus thing, and everything then was being done online, et cetera. So he was sidelined, you know, with a cold, a week or whatever it was, and then came back. Obviously, it's just him and his closest collaborators for the Wednesday audience. I didn't see that today because our parish, our American parish here in Rome, has streaming masses every morning, and that's at 9:30. So I was watching that and didn't see the audience. But as a general audience, I know our listeners know that there's a summary of the papal catechesis on the focus of the day. Is, by the way, today marks the 25th anniversary of Evangelium Vitae coming out, John Paul's magnificent document on the gospel of life.
Yeah.
And that's what the Pope talked about at the audience. But our listeners know that there's always a summary in Polish and English, Italian, French, etc. I don't mean Italian, but Spanish, Portuguese. So those Monsignors are all in the library of the Apostolic Palace with the Holy Father. They're all seated, obviously, 6 feet apart. But I am sure that one thing the Vatican is doing, anybody that does have to see the Holy Father, because he's had, he's received people in private audiences every day in, you know, in the last week or 10 days. I am sure they've been checked for temperature, et cetera, before they're even brought into his presence. So, we just have to do, you know, I get thrilled when I go outside to empty the trash and I see our doorman. I mean, you know, just to see another human being.
Well, Joan, what is it like there in the city? I mean, because it's really on lockdown.
Well, we really are on lockdown now because we're not really allowed to, I can't just visit other parts of the city. I suppose I could. If asked, if I had my journalist credentials and I said I was doing a story on the empty streets of Rome or the closed churches or something, I'm guessing the police wouldn't stop me. But all of us, whether we are walking or we are in a bus or we are driving a car, every single one of us in all of Italy is, if the police want to stop us and say, what are you doing out in the street? You have to have your personal identification, you have to have proof of where you live, and you have to have on your person a form that you downloaded from online and printed out, a form from the Interior Ministry. So it has my name, my birth date, what document I am using as an ID, and where I live. And there's now only three approved reasons by the government to be out. One is absolute proven work necessity. Two is for necessity in the sense of going to a pharmacy or buying food. And three is you're out because you're on your way to see a doctor. And they're not allowing people. If you worked in Rome, but you actually lived in Florence or commuted or something, if you were in Rome when this decree came out, I think it was 48 hours ago, when it came out, you can't even go back to your home in Florence. So if you're staying with a relative or you were in a B&B or hotel, that's where you have to stay until the government, you know, lets you know otherwise. So,
well, they have to do that. I mean, that's very clear because otherwise, you know, there's many lives at stake. There have been so many lives lost already.
Well, see, what was happening in the beginning, Sherry, was that, as you know, the north of Italy still is the epicenter in Italy of all the cases. And so a lot of people who thought they were healthy, or what happens is there's a lot of Italians in the poorer south who work all year long in the north. It can be in a hotel, some hospitality industry, and they will go home on their summer vacation or, you know, every 8 weeks or something. Well, now the government absolutely forbids that because people were from the north who might have been affected and not known it, they were traveling home to the south. So train stations, you know, trains, I don't even know if there's 6 trains a day running. I have no idea, but very, very few. So the lockdown's a good thing, and I feel safe. I do live alone. I've lived alone for a long time. So to be honest, quarantine is not that difficult. My life continues, except obviously for seeing friends. Yeah. Eating out.
Yeah, you can see that doorman there. Yeah. Well, Joan, we've got to take a quick break here. So we'll do that, and we'll come back and talk about the two decrees that were just issued from the Vatican about celebrating Easter. So that is still to come. More with Joan Lewis here on Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray here. My newest book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, help you stand strong against a culture no longer on your side, to identify all of the forces trying to misshape your child, to help you stand strong against those forces, to resist them, to recognize them, so you can raise the kind of kid you wish to raise. You can get the new book at AveMariaRadio.net. That is AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria Radio program is brought to you in part by Hallow, a new Catholic prayer and meditation app. Hallow has just launched a Pray 40 challenge featuring daily Lenten meditations on the works of mercy, Stations of the Cross, and other audio-guided contemplative prayers. You can learn more by texting HALLOW to 66866. That's 66866. It's easier to make daily prayer a habit with Hallow.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. A few more minutes with Joan Lewis, who is live on the phone with us from Rome. And Joan, you know, all the times that I have been in Rome, I mean, it's just such a city of being with others, of going out, you know, celebrating. Yeah. You can't do that right now, can you?
No, you can't. I mean, restaurants are closed, coffee bars. There is a little teensy small pizzeria across the across from my house that they will deliver. I can call and order and have it delivered. Actually, I did this about 5 days ago. He's wearing gloves, he's wearing a mask, he's wearing head covering. And, you know, I gave him the exact amount of money. And then I opened the door to my apartment, so we just had a hand stuff to each other. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to sanitize the door handle, which I did today. And when the three technicians and my doorman were in my house for the satellite,
yeah.
I wiped off, sanitized every surface that they touched. So
yeah, well, good for you. You know, we've only got just a few minutes.
I want to do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. Joan, we've got just a few minutes before the show ends, and we want to talk about your blog post at jonesrome.wordpress.com that came down from the Vatican celebrating Easter liturgies in a coronavirus era. Talk about that in the time we have left.
Right. Well, that's so fascinating because, of course, priests especially, but faithful from all over the world, have been wondering how on earth do we celebrate Easter if we are still in quarantine, can't go out, can't enter churches. So two decrees were issued today. One for the Oriental churches, so your Melkite, Maronite, Eastern Syrian, Chaldean rites, and then another one from the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of Sacraments. And I won't go through each, particular thing, but considering the rapidly evolving situation, et cetera, they know that there are many difficulties throughout the world, people in quarantine, et cetera. Now, first thing they note is that obviously the date of Easter cannot be transferred.
No, of course.
So what they do in this decree is they talk about anything for Easter, any of the liturgies, and they go by each day, Palm Sunday this way, Chrism, Mass, Holy Thursday, and it's on my blog, every part of the decree. Those must be live, not recorded broadcasts. See, I mean, even like Facebook Live, that's streaming. But
right.
it can't be something that you put on your website at 6 in the morning and people can see it at noon. It must be live in some form. And the only thing that can be transferred is to another date are anybody that was scheduled to be baptized. That can be done at another date. Also for Holy Thursday, the faculty to celebrate Mass in a suitable place without the presence of the people is exceptionally granted to all priests. So for the faithful, for priests, for bishops, etc., what Masses must be done, the Easter Vigil, for example, must be done in cathedral and parish churches. So there's very specific instructions on how to take care of this feast day, and they talk about expressions of popular piety, processions, etc., can be transferred to other suitable days of the year, for example, September 14 and 15, and of course the 14th is the exaltation of the cross. So,
right, yeah. Well, Joan, we've got to leave it there, but if you would like to read about this, she's got it all on her blog, jonesrome.wordpress.com. Our thanks to Joan, and Joan, please do stay safe there in Italy. We do appreciate the time that you've spent with us. And thanks for listening this morning. Teresa, we'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all. Thanks for listening to Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.